Vegas, everywhere there are signs that say Notary Immigration Services. Those are the notarios. And so there are other people who are not licensed, whose interest is just in making money, not in giving people good advice, who will fill this vacuum. And that's the frightening part.
Michael Kagan at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Thanks very much.
Pleasure to talk to you.
You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Good morning. I'm Scott Cameron, sitting in for Dave Dickey this morning. Dave, of course, is out at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Normal, Illinois this morning for the 2014 Will Ag Farm Assets Conference. Not too late to get in on this, actually, today. If you show up, as long as they're still going on, as you have cash or check in hand, they cannot take credit cards, but they will let you in as long as room allows for it. Cash grain discussions, crop insurance and risk management, land values, rental rates, as well as panel discussions on soybean and corn. That starts 10:15, doors open, and we'll run until 5 o'clock this evening. So that's where Dave and Todd, I think, are out at today. So I'll be sitting in for him, trying to keep the wheels turning here. In agriculture news today, a member of the European Central Bank's rate-setting council has said monetary policy cannot boost long-term growth and called instead for reforms by governments to make the weak economy more investment-friendly. Jens Weidmann said in the text of a speech in Madrid on Monday that low interest rates and stimulus measures can boost short-term demand, but that central bank action cannot permanently boost growth prospects. Weidmann, who also heads Germany's central bank, said that long-term growth depended on countries' willingness to lower barriers to investment by streamlining bureaucracy and rules on hiring and firing. In the United States, the nation's truck driver shortage is worsening. That's according to the American Trucking Association. ATA estimates that there currently is a 35,000 driver shortage that's projected to grow by around 200,000 by 2020, could reach as many as 240,000 by 2024. Brazilian farmers had planted 76% of their 2014 and 15 soybean crop. That's as of Friday, only slightly behind progress seen last year at this time when 79% was harvested. That's according to Ag Rural, a local farm consultancy. Lack of rain combined with high temperatures is slowing development of some crops there in Brazil, also fostering caterpillar populations, which many analysts are still keeping an eye on. Private exporters reported a sale of 174,000 metric tons of soy meal to Thailand, 235,000 metric tons of soybeans to China, and 116,000 metric tons of sorghum sold to unknown people. During the 2014-2015 marketing year, the marketing year for soy meal began on October 1st. Marketing year for soybeans and sorghum began on September 1st. Taking a look at the markets at this hour, hard red winter wheat for December, 604.5. That is up a half. Hard red winter wheat for March sits at 607. December wheat is at 548.75. That's up 1.5. March wheat is at 554.75. That's up 1.25. December corn, 371. That's down 1.75. March corn, 383.75. That's down 1.5. January beans, 1036.75. Down 2.25. March beans at 1043 even. That's down 3 this morning. December soybean meal at 380.20. That's down 1.80. January soybean meal, 367.70. That's up about 20 cents at the moment. Right now, why don't we turn things over to Drew Lerner, take a look at what's going on in agricultural weather.
Most of the U.S. Midwest received quite a bit of precipitation over the weekend, at least from portions of eastern Iowa, Missouri, and eastern Kansas, clear over to Michigan and parts of Ohio. This precipitation, on top of the previous precipitation that fell, and the moist soil conditions, has left more field work on hold across parts of the Midwest, and this will likely continue for a while. We do have some lingering rain and snow that will fall across the Midwest today. Most of that will occur from northeastern Iowa and northern Illinois into Michigan, and we will see some significant snow accumulating in a few areas across parts of this region. Michigan will probably see the majority of the greatest amounts of snowfall from this event, and a close monitoring of the snow event is certainly warranted if you're traveling across parts of this region during the course of the day today. But we could end up with several inches of snow accumulating, and not only in Michigan, Michigan, but parts of southeast and east central Wisconsin as well. There may be some breezy conditions occurring at times, which will help to add to the low visibility and the adverse travel conditions across the region. The storm system will finally exit out of the region as we go through the night tonight, and we will see a little bit better weather across the Midwest for a little while. With that said, there's a couple of small weather disturbances that will still impact the region this week. One will come across the west central into southern parts of the region as we get into midweek, Wednesday in particular, but Tuesday night beginning in some of the west central parts of the Corn Belt. And we'll expect that to produce a little bit of light snowfall, a dusting to a couple of inches will be most likely. And it looks like that system will go ahead and move on out of the region fairly quickly. And another disturbance will show up as we get into Thursday night into Friday. This one will impact the northern parts of the Midwest, coming into the region from the Dakotas through Minnesota and Wisconsin over to Michigan, maybe catching a few counties in northern Ohio. And it, too, will occur largely as a snow event with a few inches possible to accumulate across a part of this region. Minnesota and Wisconsin, maybe a part of Michigan, will see the majority of the greatest precipitation. Most other areas in the Midwest that I haven't mentioned probably will be mostly dry through the work week this week and into the weekend. Another storm system will pass across the northern fringes of the region as we get into the weekend. This system will be more of a Canadian prairies and Ontario storm system, and those areas will pick up on some significant snowfall. The temperatures across the Midwest are expected to bounce around a bit, but we will get a little bit warmer for a brief period of time. We'll expect the afternoon temperatures today to contrast from 20s and 30s in the northwestern parts of the region to readings that will be in the 50s to near 60 degrees for places like Ohio and Kentucky. We'll anticipate tomorrow's temperatures to be cooler in the east. Most of the Midwest in general will see highs running in the 20s and 30s with a few 40s in the southern parts of the region. Moving a little bit deeper into the week, we'll have a reinforcing shot of cooler air coming in on Wednesday into Thursday, and the high temperatures will eventually lower themselves to the teens and 20s across the northern portions of the region, and southern areas will see highs in the 30s to around 40 degrees. The low temperatures at night behind these cooler pockets of air will be impressive, with some single-digit and teens will occur tonight across the northwest and west-central parts of the Midwest, and we'll look for the coldest air, though, to show up on Thursday and Friday mornings. Thursday morning in particular, when we'll see some sub-zero degree temperature readings in Minnesota and the Dakotas. Most other lows on Thursday morning will be running in the single digits and teens in the rest of the northwestern Corn Belt, and mostly in the 20s in the rest of the region. We'll see teens and 20s on Friday morning. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for agricultural weather on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
And let's go over to the phones now, where Aaron Curtis with Midco in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, is standing by. Got some analysis here. Take a look at the short week ahead. Aaron, thanks for joining us this morning.
Good morning. How are you, Scott?
I can't complain. I'm sort of pretending to be my Dave Dickey this morning, though I can't match that voice.
Right.
So just, it is Thanksgiving, it's a shortened week here. What are we looking at? What might move markets this week?
Well, it is going to be pretty quiet. You know, we do have full trade through Wednesday, and then the market kind of takes a break until Friday morning. Just a short session there Friday, 8:30 to noon, so not much trading going on Friday. But we'll have a thinner trade here as the market gets ready for the holiday trade, and sometimes that's when we see some interesting trading dynamics here, just with a thinner trade being able to push things around. Typically seasonally for corn, it's been more of a friendly week here, so we'll see if that plays into anything here this morning. We did see some additional demand here this morning. We saw some beans sold to China here this morning, so that allowed the beans to recover a little bit. They were double digits lower here as we kind of came in this morning, but then things have recovered here to where we're just trading down 3 to 4 cents now. Corn trying to make it back here at the end, unchanged. Sold some meal to Thailand this morning and also sold some sorghum to Unknown. So those stories here helping out a little bit. We'll have export inspections out here this morning. Expecting another strong week last week of bean loadings. That bean export program continues to be pretty strong here. Another thing to watch this week, well, first notice day for December contracts on Friday, so there'll be some moving around of the December corn and wheat positions trying to prepare for First Notice Day on Friday. But otherwise, it's a very quiet week, not seeing a lot of producer interest here to start this week, and really probably more than anything, probably expecting just some continued range-bound trade here as the week goes on.
Okay, and then anything just briefly to expect coming then after the holiday in on Friday and then again on Monday? Any sort of directions coming ahead?
Well, you get the traders coming back in after the holiday week, so some of them that took the week off will be trying to see what the market did this week and play off accordingly. I mentioned on the seasonal, that trend tends to be a little bit of a lower trade here as the first part of December comes back into play, so that'll be something to watch. But there'll be just a lot of demand news that we'll be watching to see if there's anything interesting there. And then after we get back, we'll kind of prepare for that December 10th crop report. It'll just be a week and a half after Thanksgiving here to kind of see if there's anything interesting in there to kind of move the market around.
All right. Well, Aaron Curtis with Midco in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois, thanks for your time this morning.
Great. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks. You too. Take care. Have a good holiday. All right, taking a look now at the Dow Jones Industrial Average. That is up 773 at 17,817.79. The NASDAQ right now is up 20 at 4733.50. The S&P 500 right now is up $3.42 at 2066.92. Again, just taking a quick peek at some of the other numbers right now at this moment. Hard red winter wheat for December is at 604. That is no change. Hard red winter wheat for March is at 606.75. That is down about a quarter. December wheat is at 547.75. That's up about a half. December corn 370.25, down 2.5 right now. January beans 1033, right now 1034. That's down 5. December soybean meal is at 378.20. That is down 20 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01.